For 5 years, they've been doing a metal podcast. But they've been watching movies for a lifetime. Now it's time for the boys to share their 10 favorite metal songs that are featured in movies and on soundtracks. Grab your popcorn and get ready for the 80s Glam Metalcast to go to the movies.
All right, Ryan, you ready to talk some metal and movies tonight or what, man?
All right, metal going to the movies.
You know, I think I told you I'm a big movie buff, and you know, especially like in New York, you know, we're in winter and there's not a lot going on, and I went back and I've watched a lot of like old 80s and 90s movies, and dude, it's like comfort food. It's so good. They're classics.
Yeah, dude, totally. And you know, I was thinking about this, and when we were kids, when I was a kid, all these songs were just a regular soundtrack. You know, I knew it was just like music of the times. But looking back, so many of these soundtracks have such epic bands, and some of them are multi-platinum, humongous, and some of them just got stuck because they collected royalties for like 2 years or so for this. But I must say that one thing really stands out is there are some epic songs that correspond with some really shitty movies out there.
I was just going to say the same thing. I feel like the music was always pretty good, but the movies, it's like hit or miss. I mean, there's, like I said, some of them are, there's some great classics out there. Some movies, you know, sometimes metal got tied in with like low budget B horror movies and shit like that. So it's a mixed bag, no doubt.
Oh yeah, totally.
One cool thing though, man, when you go back and watch 80s movies, you know, I think what we're all kind of used to, don't get me wrong, I like Marvel and Star Wars as much as the next guy, but, you know, it tends to be like a CGI fest and everything's very politically correct. You go back and you watch the 80s movies, man, you know, there's limited special effects, or if there is effects, it's like practical effects. And that's kind of like something that's been thrown out the window, you know, like makeup artists and miniatures. And definitely, man, it ain't politically correct at all. It's, but it's, it's a different time. It reminds me of, you know, good times, man. Good times.
All the innocence.
And, you know, the other thing that I think is a shame that we run into today is you'd think, like, everything would be easier because you have streaming and all that kind of stuff. But I think in a lot of ways it's, like, harder to find older movies. You know what I mean? Gone are the days where you'd walk into a video store and you could just, you know, go through the action section, go through the horror. You'd see something that would, like, catch your eye or remind you of something. Now it's like you're just on your own. You don't really – you're just kind of scrolling randomly and you don't know if – that service is going to have this movie or that one's going to have this one. It's, I don't know, man. I kind of miss the old days of the video stores.
Yeah, a lot of us, I know I kept all the old VHS and DVDs throughout the years, but you're hard pressed to find a DVD player and a VCR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's not streaming these days, it's kind of tough to play unless you still got that old system hooked up.
And the last point I want to make about all this is that, like, I don't know if you've noticed this in your travels, but soundtracks, man, they're not on Spotify. Like, what is up with soundtracks? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them are just like, they're out of print. I've read stories about people saying these are out of print. You can't find them on streaming. It's crazy, man. It's like they're just gone.
They are gone. And unless you have them on CD or tape or whatever, you got to find it on YouTube or something that someone cooked from years ago on there. But yeah, man, it sucks. There's a whole niche of soundtrack collectors out there, and they're very valuable.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, man, I'm very excited to do this. I thought this was actually your idea. I thought it was a great idea. And
yeah, cool.
I think you should just kick it off with your 10.
Hi. Hello to you. I'm Mrs. Sturak. I'm the babysitter.
What?
Sweet. Well, thank you. So number 10, I Valentine with the song Keep the Faith from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. So honestly, the movie wasn't bad. I watched it recently and I thought, that's not too bad. And there's a lot of good music on the soundtrack, as we'll run into most of these. But anyway, I love to drop my Valentine appreciation here and there because I think they're a really underrated band. The song's really catchy. It's great once you realize that these, well, basically the song is so catchy, and it's great because you realize that these type of songs worked in soundtracks back in the day. And it just so happens they were really great, catchy, melodic rock songs of this time. So, it, you know, being my number 10, it's not a huge band, and the soundtrack probably isn't that sought after, but I know it is a collectible, and there's some really cool bands on there. So if you could find it, check it out.
Nice. I've never seen this movie. I do remember the title. And the funny thing that I'm noticing, too, about some of this stuff is, like, I think that movie's 1991. And it's funny because we've talked so many times on the podcast how, like, in 91 it was, like, over. But for somehow, like, these hair bands are still able to squeeze themselves onto, like, a soundtrack. So maybe they were able to get them cheap at this point or whatever. But you were finding hair bands were still getting on soundtracks in the 90s.
Absolutely.
All right. My number 10.
They were strangers.
You're just a couple of stupid punks playing cowboy.
In a land where legends are part of the landscape.
I'll be honest, I kind of question why I put this low. When I went back and I listened to the song and watched the video, I was like, damn, maybe I should put it a little higher, but I didn't want to screw with my list. I got Keel, Rock and Roll Outlaw from the movie Dudes, 1988. And I got to be honest with you, man. First of all, everybody knows I'm a big Keel fan. And really, the only place to get this studio version is on this Dude soundtrack. And what's cool about this Dude soundtrack is it's kind of all over the board, man. It's got like Megadeth. And let me just say, Megadeth is the MVP of movie soundtracks, as we're going to find out, I think, as we go on. Megadeth's in a lot of freaking movies, man. But
totally. It's random,
just,
huh?
Yeah, it's weird. like Jane's Addiction's on here. A lot of like New Wave. Just it's a whole mixed bag. And it's funny that Keel got the spotlight because it's more of a straightforward tune. It's a cover, I believe, from a Rose Tattoo. And the only way you're getting on a Keel album is they do it on Larger Than Live, which is pretty good. Now, another thing I want to mention, too, about this is when you think of the videos, and I think this is going to be the standard as we go through, if it had a video, you're always going to get, like, the movie clips, right, kind of integrated into the video. Or you also might get the special treat where the people from the movie make an appearance in the video. And that happens in this one, yeah. what do you think of this? Do you like this, dude?
Well, I'll just say right now, this is my number 9, so I'm happy to discuss this one right now.
Before we do, I got to make one point. Okay, one point. Yeah. I've never seen the movie Dudes. When I was a kid, I was like, I don't know, this just looks stupid. Like, what, punk guys become like cowboys? What the hell's going on? So I got in there over the weekend, had some downtime, and I said, screw it, man. I'm going to put on Dudes. If this sucks, it was on YouTube. I'm like, I'll just shut it off. You know, who cares? And I got to admit, it was kind of a fun movie. It was weird. It's a weird movie. It's definitely out there. Interesting point is Flea is in it. Flea is their buddy, Jon Cryer, the other guy's buddy, and he gets murdered in the beginning. And then basically, it's like they find a purpose with their life, these punks, and they're going to go avenge this dude's murder. They call it like a punk rock Western or something like that. And Penelope Spears, the one who did Wayne's World and Decline of Western Civilization, did this movie. So I don't know how some of these weird, wacky party movies got made. Probably because they went and partied with the people who made them and convinced them, yeah, it's a great idea, man. But it was pretty cool, man. It wasn't a bad movie at all. All right, tell me your thoughts.
Well, dude, perfect, because that's an excellent segue, because the first note I wrote about this was, I don't know the movie. And a lot of these, I've never seen the movie, and I don't know if I ever will.
Right.
But I will say, from my days of CD hunting, I do own this soundtrack, and I always gravitated towards this song. And then in the recent years, I thought about, I'd check out that video. And it's a cool video. So everything you're saying about it is absolutely accurate. It's a really cool Keel video. And I really, really like the way they show off their shredding in this song. It's perfect Keel for the time. And I actually didn't know that it did show up on Larger Than Live?
They do it on Larger Than Live, yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was looking, and I must have missed that, because I was like, okay, I think it's got to be on this album, but I missed it. So the other thing is, I just have a question for you. Yeah. What do you think of Show No Mercy by Wasp?
Oh, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, that's in there, and it's in a great scene. It's one of the first scenes where they find the killer and they're on the highway and they're shooting at each other and that Wasp tune is blaring. You ever notice like all those metal songs usually end up in car chases or like a party at somebody's house? But yeah, no, I mean I love this song. It's too bad the studio version didn't make a Keel album. Because that's usually the trick, right? Usually you do a live album, you could throw that studio track on as a bonus. But you're right. They really focus on, you know, like what makes Keel great. The dual leads, the big chorus. And what's interesting about the whole thing, too, is that like Ronnie Lee Keel, right? Ron Keel became like a country guy, you know, at a certain point, and he still kind of calls himself like the metal cowboy. So it's kind of cool how this song really fits like his whole vibe. So.
This is where it all began.
This is where it all began. All right. My number 9.
Now, Wes Craven brings you his greatest creation.
No more!
Shocker.
Sword in the Stone by Bonfire.
And
we're gonna have to take some time and talk about the Shocker soundtrack, you know.
I'll
be honest, okay, I did not go back and watch Shocker. I'm not even sure if I ever seen Shocker. I don't remember, but I definitely had the soundtrack when I was a kid, and I just remember like the Dudes of Wrath. I'm like, what's this all about? And all of a sudden I hear Paul Stanley and Desmond Child, you know, trading off lead vocals. I'm like, how killer is that? You know what I mean?
Totally.
But this song, I remember just thinking this song was great. I just really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, maybe when I bought the soundtrack, I realized who wrote it. It was Paul and Desmond. And then years later, I heard the demos of, like, Kiss doing this song. And this was supposed to be on Crazy Nights. So that made me like it even more. I really, really did question, why did this not go on Crazy Nights? It's a great song. But, and then the last thing I got to say is Megadeth, man, is on the soundtrack. So, there's two in a row, man, Megadeth.
Yeah, dude, killer soundtrack. I have the CD. There are awesome bands on this one, but you know who I really, really like on this one is Voodoo X, and that's John Beauregard, the guy with the, you know, the crazy blonde mohawk.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I really like that song. What's that? The Awakening on this on this album or this soundtrack. Good song, and obviously you're going to have a bunch of dudes that have written together in the past, and he's one of the guys that was right there with Paul Stanley. So then it kind of all came together when I realized who the Dudes of Wrath are. Paul Stanley, Desmond Child, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it all fit. And really cool song by Voodoo X. That's a great album too.
Yeah, there's a couple other good tracks on there too. Demon Bell by Dangerous Toys is good.
Yeah, it is.
Soraya has a ballad on there. And you know what? The cool thing too is if you just know, like, Desmond Child's hands are all over. He produced it. He had a hand in writing a lot of the songs. And it just showed you what a powerful force he was. You know, that's just the guy you're going to go to if you want, like, a, you know, hit soundtrack or something like that. So it just shows the kind of power that he had. And, you know, a lot of that, especially that song Shocker, it feels like an Alice Cooper trash song, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
It's
just that, like, it's creepy, but it's poppy. It is killer. It's great.
Yeah, good call, dude. All right,
number 8.
But it starts with Bill.
I'm Bill S. Preston.
Who is Joan of Arc?
And Ted.
Noah's wife?
We are in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow.
A force from the future.
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You can do anything you want.
Is putting history at their fingertips.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
They're traveling through time.
How's it going, Royal Ugly Dudes?
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus.
Okay, number 8. So I got Bill and Ted. I got the Excellent Adventure on this one. I got Shark Island doing a song called Dangerous. I kind of want to cheat and throw in Winger's Battle Stations for Bogus Journey because
not the same soundtrack.
it's right there. So it was a tough choice, dude. Like, I would never choose anything over Winger, to be honest. But in this circumstance, I'll just talk about Shark Island doing Dangerous. And it seems like any Any title with dangerous in it is always just so killer. Like, think about Dangerous But Worth the Risk, or like the newer Def Leppard song, Dangerous. Like, it's always cool. It's always kind of pushing it. But yeah, this one's from The Excellent Adventure. It's got a huge chorus, great vocals, very underrated band. I love Shark Island. I know they took some shit for their recent offering, if you will. It was very modern. It was nothing like the old days. And the lore of Axl Rose stealing his moves and everything. But anyway, great song, great chorus. Check it out. They have another cool one called My City. But yeah, Shark Island, they're a very underrated band if you don't know them.
Yeah, that song's cool, and, you know, I definitely want to go back and watch the first Bill and Ted's, because, like, I knew I saw it back in the day, but I haven't seen it in so long. And, it, you know, another thing that made me question, like, what's going on in, like, media today, it's like, I'll watch TV, and I'll watch movies that pop on TV, and it always seems like it's the same kind of movies that are on TV. Like, I don't ever see Bill and Ted or some of these old movies, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? These are all great movies. Where the hell are they? You know what I mean? It's just, it's sad.
Excellent Adventure is killer. Bogus Journey, I tortured myself sitting through in the last year, and God, it was terrible, so don't do it. Don't do Bogus Journey. Get the soundtrack, go watch the movie.
See, now, I don't want to spoil a lot of thunder about Bogus Journey, but I went to the theaters and I saw Bogus Journey in 91, and I haven't seen it since. I remember liking it then, but, like, you know, frig, I'm an adult now. we'll see.
Exactly.
But I could only get so many of these squeezed in before the podcast. I have squeezed in quite a few, and I will talk about, well, Dudes was one, and then there's more. Okay. All right, anyways. All right. 8. Queensryche. The Real World from the Last Action Hero soundtrack in 1993, man. And what a freaking soundtrack. Before we get, I feel like I'm getting deep into the soundtrack and I'm not talking about the song. This is such a great song. Like, oh my God. I think I've listened to this song about 10 times, you know, doing this whole thing because it's so good. It's got, like, the orchestration. I think it's from Michael Kamen or whatever. He does a lot of that orchestration with the metal bands and stuff. And, it's just so good. It's just so good. You know, it's kind of where probably a lot of people thought Queensryche were going, and then maybe they were disappointed. It's just peak Queensryche right there. You know what I mean? So I love it. I love everything that's going on in that song. It's too bad that it really was just a soundtrack song, because I think it could have worked well on an album and as like a big single. Last Action Hero soundtrack and movie. Now, this is a movie that I always thought looked dumb as hell. Like, I've never watched this movie.
Right.
I kind of want to watch it because it's really a spoof on action movies and kind of like making fun of itself. So I do want to watch it. But I think it's one of those last moves of, like, it's the last, like, typical 80s movie of the 90s, right? And it's the last, like, 80s metal soundtrack that you're going to get probably in the 90s. And it makes you think that, like, everybody could have stayed in the whole swimming pool together, right? You got Alice in Chains, Queensryche, DC, Tesla, and, of course, you got Megadeth.
I know, dude. That's killer. Now, here's a quiz for you. Do you remember who did the title track, if you will, the song Last Action Hero?
Tesla, man. It's a great song. I'm not a huge Tesla guy, but I think that's a great song. Great song.
Nice. Dude, that's a good one. I'm shocked you didn't put Two Steps Behind on there.
Dead Leopard's on there. It's a great soundtrack, and... like I said, it was that last moment where everybody was together, and then all of a sudden it was like grunge was king and metal was crap, and everything had changed. So this was probably the last thing you're going to get where, you know, metal had a little prominence on a soundtrack.
Yeah, and dude, along those lines of Queensryche, might as well just talk about it now. One of my honorable mentions was Last Time in Paris off the Ford Fairlane.
That's great too.
Yep. And dude, that's another one where I think it was an Empire track that they put on like a remaster later on, but dude, what a killer song. But another album, it's like Hysteria, where you're like, we don't need another one. Like, we got enough killer songs. Like, let's leave this one off for the next one.
Yep.
And they put it on the soundtrack, which is awesome, you know. But they put it on a remaster, and you're like, dude, this would have been great. Like, this is a really cool song. And I was really contemplating adding that one. So good on you to put this Queensryche song.
Nice, man. What do you got next?
Okay, so number 7.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. Transformers.
Soundtrack, and this was tough for me because there's a lot of good stuff on here. So you got NRG, you got Lion, you got Stan Bush, Spectre General, who was Kick Axe, the band Kick Axe, is Spectre General. And the reason they call themselves Spectre General is because the producers, directors, whatnot, high up said, we don't want the band title Kick Axe on our soundtrack. We think it's a little extreme, if you can imagine, for the time.
Yeah.
So they called themselves Spectre General, which probably didn't do their brand any service, if you will. So you also got the song The Hunger, which is later recorded by King Cobra. So there's like a lot of lore surrounding this soundtrack. I really like the theme song and the fact that Lion could make the title and the slogan somehow sound like a song is really tough to do, and a really a big credit to them. But in the end, I chose NRG, which is basically the band that turned into the band Damn Cheetah. So there's a ton of stuff going on here in this soundtrack. There's all kinds of different players and members and bands doing this and that and changing their name. But yeah, the singer for NRG became the singer for a band called Damn Cheetah. And actually, Damn Cheetah was one that I contemplating put it on the letter D for our A to Z obscure list. So, but Damn Cheetah is great. If you don't know that band, they got one album out that was like re-released from all their good stuff in the early 90s. But NRG, great song on this album, and really cool soundtrack. I have played this soundtrack for years and years. And it's never let me down.
Awesome. I'm kind of surprised that you didn't go with Lion, because you're a Lion guy. Kind of surprised.
I am. I know. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention the song is Instruments of Destruction by NRG. Nice. But Lion, yeah, dude, I have become a big Lion guy in the last couple of years. But definitely credit to them to making that slogan and that the title sound like a song. They did a great job.
You know, what's funny is I've never seen the Transformers movie. I never was huge into Transformers. I was there when they were out. Always liked G.I. Right. Joe and He-Man and a lot of that stuff better. But one strange thing so when I was doing my research on this soundtrack, I was reading some of the YouTube comments. And I guess I'll just put it the way they said it, is that, man, they said Megatron was total gangster in that movie because he actually he killed Autobots. You know what I mean? And in kids' movies, that stuff could never happen. You know, the good guys never got killed by the villains. They always kind of got away or something. So it sounds like there's some like dark overtones in the Transformers movie that is kind of taboo for the time. So interesting.
Yeah, and you got to think, I believe this came out in 86. Mm-hmm. And in 86, I was 5. So this was like 86, 87, 88. Like in that frame, I was G.I. Joe, Star Wars, yep. Transformers, like really into this. So I was like, oh, I'm watching this movie. And of course, we would rent it. And just like I talked about at the beginning, when I was like, I really like this soundtrack. This is Valentine. This is Flame, Alias, all these bands that were on Don't Go, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Same thing with Transformers. It was all like these killer songs at the time, and I just went with it. And now I realize I love all these bands. Nice. So maybe this is where it all began.
Yeah, right. This is, dude. Wow, what a revelation!
There you go.
All right, number 7.
Because Marshall Seymour is about to become his 11-year-old son, Charlie.
Awesome.
And vice versa.
Maybe this happened all over America.
I got Crazy in the Night by Malice from the movie Vice Versa. You know, Vice Versa, man, I have not seen this since 89, but I remember watching it when it came out, and I remember seeing Malice, and I was like, oh my God, I love this song. I want this, you know? And I don't know if there was a Vice Versa soundtrack that was readily available, but eventually it did come out on an EP called Crazy in the Night. And it's funny because in this movie, like, you know, they okay, so this is a ripoff of another movie that's going to come up on my next one that I do, like Father and Son. It's a total ripoff of that movie. In this movie, they actually change bodies. I think in Like Father, Like Son, they just, their minds go into each other or something like that. So anyways, the kid, you know, gets to go to this concert, and it's something the father would never do. You know, it's typical stuff for a movie like this. You know, the father's uptight and the kid's wild, and now he gets to go to a Malice concert or whatever. But you know, it's just one of those cool scenes. It was always cool to see a metal band doing a performance that you knew, you know what I mean, in a movie. And here's a little odd tidbit about this is that so Crazy in the Night is what they perform in the movie, but then there's an, also on the EP, there's a song called Vice Versa, and it's Malice, but Paul Sabu sings on it. And Paul Sabu always comes up, you know, he's always on episodes. You know, I think he was on the last one, and something about him will probably come up in a little while. So it's just funny. We get these same players in all of our podcasts that we do.
I don't know this movie. I don't know the movie, and I don't know the song, and I like Malice a lot, so this is definitely one I got to check out.
Yeah, and the movie is, it's Judge Reinhold is the dad and Fred Savage is the kid. So they were both kind of you know, they were kind of bigger actors at the time, and it made sense to do that swap thing. But I'm telling you, it already came out. The same exact movie was done a year before, and I'll be talking about that next. So what's yours, man? What do you got next? What do you got for six?
Where am I now?
This isn't the movies anymore, Jack. Please be careful. Things were different here.
Damn it, that hurt. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Jack Slater.
No! This hero stuff has its limits.
And Jack Slater is...
Everybody down! Now!
The last action hero. The big ticket for 93.
I'll be back.
Good. All right. Well, you're going to trip that if this one is not higher or even number one for me, but this is where I have AC/DC doing Big Gun from Last Action Hero. But this is definitely a killer song on like a movie that it bombed Arnold box office wise, but yeah, it's not necessarily a bad movie, but whatever. I love the song, love the music video. And it's kind of like the forgotten AC/DC song, which I wish they would play live one day. But at this point, I don't think it's going to happen. No. But I decided to rank these by what song I actually gravitate to like these days and from here out. And these top six are regularly played in my life. And that's how I kind of shaped the rest of my list. Mm-hmm. And they happen to be soundtrack songs, but they're big songs. And they obviously appear on other albums, and I remember getting this cassette when I was a kid, and it was just so exciting to have a new AC/DC song after the Razor's Edge and after AC/DC Live and right before Ball Breaker and all that. So it was kind of a cool bridge between that whole era for those guys. Excellent song, and they look really cool in the video, and obviously Arnold's in the video, so I really like it.
I was gonna say, it's got that typical formula. It's got movie clips that go to the music, and then Arnold's actually in the crowd, you know, of the video. You know me, I'm not a huge AC/DC guy, but I always liked this song. I thought this song was great when it came out. The movie and the song are just from another time, you know what I mean? It ain't 90, like it don't fit really in the 90s. It feels like 80s type of stuff. It's an 80s action movie with like an 80s kick-ass type of a song. And it was cool to see like what was the next step, like where were these guys going after the big commercial success of Razor's Edge. And this is another great commercial song. It's catchy, but it's total AC/DC. And I love it, man. I actually really like this song.
Right on. I love it.
All right. So number six.
Dudley Moore, Kirk Cameron. Like Father, Like Son.
Oh, Never Looked That Good for Me by Autograph, 1988. And I've never been huge into Autograph, but I always thought this song was great. It's on the Loud and Clear album. And once again, it's okay, so it's a movie where the kids, the dad and the kid flip-flop, but this time it's Dudley Moore and it's Kirk Cameron. And I gotta say, man, this one I did go back and watch. And I was blown away by Dudley Moore, man. I you know, Dudley Moore has been dead, unfortunately, for a very long time. And once again, I don't see like his movies on TV very often. And it's like, unless this guy gets on your mind, what's going to make you go like watch Arthur or some of these movies that he's been in? And I was just like, man, when like so same thing. He's like an uptight doctor, and then all of a sudden, when he has to play the kid. Oh my God, he just plays it so, dude, he's just so cool. He's so funny, you know what I mean? He just nails it, you know? So I just like that dude. I haven't watched a movie with him in a long time, so super cool. Another cool thing about this soundtrack, well, I don't even know about the soundtrack, but all I can tell you what happens in the movie. They play Wild Side in the movie, and they play All in the Name of Rock and Roll by Crew. So both of those are in the movie. But weird choice that the video, the big video that they play that has the movie clips in it, is Autograph. And it's just so funny that, like, same thing. The kid takes the girlfriend to go see a concert, and it's the same premise that's in the other movie, with vice versa. It's so funny how, like, I mean, I'm talking like it's a cookie-cutter copy of each other. It's just, it's nuts.
Dude, that is one of the stronger choruses of any song, like, that is such a good
it's
album,
such a good chorus,
and that
yeah.
song has always really stood out. So,
yep,
dude, I was really pumped about this one. That's a good one. That's in my honorables, and I don't know why I didn't include it because I really like Autograph, but awesome. I'm glad you put it on there.
Yeah. Number five.
All right. Excellent promo, Wayne.
Yes, artistic yet accessible to a wide audience.
Right. Hey, do you think we'll win an Academy Award?
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Not.
Okay, so talk about listenability. This is where I got Hot and Bothered by Cinderella off the Wayne's World soundtrack. And dude, this has forever and always been one of my favorite Cinderella songs. But I'll be honest, when Wayne's World came out, I was in my full AC/DC obsession era, and I searched high and low for this AC/DC song that played at the flat in Cassandra's apartment when they played their when they played that concert. And it came on right after they got off stage, and I was like, oh, dude, what AC/DC album is this on? This is such a ripping song. But it was Cinderella. And at the time, with my innocent ears, I was like, that's Brian Johnson. But no, it's Tom Kiefer. I don't know. Anyway, so this song and the song Push Push are just like right there hand in hand for me, like really dripping with sex, just hooks and drums and the drum intro to the song and how it kicks in. It probably is my favorite Cinderella song, and I put it right next to it. Everything on Night Songs and a few choice songs off Long Cold Winter. So this song, it later appeared on the Still Climbing album.
Yep.
But depending on which Wayne's World soundtrack you buy, it's not on there, or it is, which is really weird to me.
That is weird.
Yeah, so I have it, and I have the soundtrack with it on there, but I noticed upon researching for this, it's not on every soundtrack. So I don't know why, but dude, obviously everybody knows this song. It's really killer.
Yeah, I mean, Wayne's World is another one of those ones where you'd still think that like metal was in and cool by watching Wayne's World. yeah, Alice Cooper,
totally.
Feed My Frankenstein and all this stuff. And one just great tidbit that we must throw in Cassandra's band, man, Mark Ferrari is her guitar player. So,
oh, dude,
the keel goes on.
So killer. Yeah, dude. Good-looking band. Mark Ferrari's killer at that point. This is another like kickoff point for me. This is what I thought metal dudes were.
Yep. Good times. All right, number five.
Nothing I'd rather do.
I think he's worked out pretty well.
Have a seat. This is a bust.
And I gotta go, The Kid Goes Wild, 1990, RoboCop 2. obviously, we've talked about Babylon AD many times. Loved this song. Knew it, obviously, before the movie. And, of course, thought it was great when we saw the video because we got to have, you know, RoboCop, you know, same thing, movie clips. And then RoboCop actually is, you know, around with the band. And there's a lot of ads and promos that you'll see today. People will post on Facebook and different things where, you know, there's promo shots with the band and RoboCop. I mean, how freaking cool is that? You know what I mean? And, you know, if we talk about, like, hit or miss with movies, you know, I always wish, like, at least for my list, and I probably you thought the same way, I wish there was, like, more cool metal songs in, like, Rocky movies or, like, you know, Rambo.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't have a lot of that in those kind of movies. So it was cool that RoboCop did. The scene where this play – so I've been watching – full confession, I've been watching RoboCop movies like a fiend lately. it all started where I wanted to watch the remake from 2014 because everybody was like, oh, this sucks. You know, you can't redo RoboCop. I thought the remake was great, man. It had Michael Keaton, Samuel Jackson. I thought it was like Gary Oldman is in it. I thought it was a great freaking movie. And of course, I went back and I watched one, I watched two, and then I watched three. And three is a little questionable for RoboCop, but I thought RoboCop 2 was really good, man. I actually enjoyed it just as much as the first one. You know, there's a lot of cool ideas that they're putting out there, and ultimately there's like this kid that he's kind of like the second in command. So I think that's where Kid Goes Wild kind of comes in. But the main guy is called Kane. He's like a drug pusher, and then ultimately they try to take him because he's on his deathbed, and they transform him into the next RoboCop. And of course, the original RoboCop has to destroy this evil RoboCop. But really cool movie, and the song plays during a scene where like RoboCop's kind of interrogating a crooked cop, and he's throwing them all into these arcade machines and everything. So just a cool scene, and this song is just very prevalent during that scene, and it's just a great tune. Babylon AD, man, they kick ass. RoboCop kicks ass. I don't know. This probably should have been number one.
Thank you for your cooperation.
I know, dude. what a awesome matchup. Like, these metal dudes that were good-looking and hot at the time with RoboCop, what a good matchup. And you're right. I wish more metal guys were paired up with the Rockies and the Rambos and the huge movies because they deserved it. They looked great. That was the thing.
Because when it hit, man, it hit. Like we said, like with AC/DC and Big Gun and Last Action Hero, it was just like it worked great, but it was just the wrong era. Like the shit like that needed to be happening like 88, 87. You know what I mean? While it was like all thriving, man, they missed the mark.
Yeah, they did.
All right, number four.
Rock and roll.
27 banks in 3 years.
Everybody pray!
Anything to catch the perfect wave.
I'm not a crook!
Patrick Swayze.
Fear causes hesitation, and hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
Keanu Reeves.
You think I joined the FBI to learn to surf?
Point Break.
Adios, amigo!
All right, cool. So, speaking of epic intros, like I talked about Cinderella, this is where I have Nobody Rides for Free by Rat off of the excellent Point Break.
Yeah.
So, I could say this is a showcase for Warren DeMartini on this song. I mean, the guy is shredding in this song. He shows off everything he could do. The music video is epic. And the song is showcased. I believe it's on the ending credits, so yep. It's pretty much in your face. Like if you're seeing this when it came out, and you're walking out of the theater, you're like, oh, okay, this song is sticking in my head a little bit. This is a good one, especially that intro. So, I recently saw on YouTube Piercy performing this live, and he really did a good job. I didn't think Piercy really had the chops anymore. And I mean, let's be honest. It's fine. Everybody's vocal cords thicken and get older with age, and his aren't what they used to be, but he did a really good job of the song. And I'm really stoked that he's still incorporating that in his live sets when he's not with Rat. So this, as well as my next song, are where these bands kind of like should have gone and could have gone, and right. People were really stoked that they went when they came out. But I kind of put this along with the songs off of Decade of Decadence, like Angela, Rock and Roll Junkie, Primal Scream. Like, this is where Motley went in 91 and people really liked it. And this is where Rat went in this soundtrack, which was, I think it was 91, right?
Yeah.
And people really liked it. So I was kind of bummed that they either broke up or deviated from this recipe at that point. But might I also mention Juan's backup vocals on the chorus?
Yeah.
They stand out. I mean, to me, like, Juan is the MVP of this band. And they stand out big time on the second part of the chorus in this song. So big, big Point Break guy right here. And this soundtrack doesn't let down.
Well, we don't plan this, but this happens all the time. I got Nobody Rides for Free as number four too. And you know, you hit on a lot of great points. I'm just gonna hit on a couple too. Is that
right?
This is where these bands should have went. You know, I think when everybody yes. saw that video, you see a different image, right? You see Piercy's hair is a little shorter. You know, it's yeah. not as glamorous. You know what I mean? It feels like Rat could survive the 90s and maybe do something,
right?
Like, change it up a little bit and do this. You know what I mean? And it almost corresponds with the movie perfectly, because the movie, it almost feels the same way when it comes to Patrick Swayze, right? Patrick Swayze was the big 80s guy, Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse, and he kind of pivots in this movie, and he's like this wild bad guy, even though he's kind of likable, though. He's a bad guy, but he's kind of likable. But he plays the role so well. I mean, I think he's so killer in that movie. And where, yeah. like, Keanu is, like, still kind of early. Like, there's times where his acting doesn't seem up to snuff, but, like, Swayze's just spot on. And even the movie itself kind of has that, you know, like, oh, maybe these 80s guys could survive, but it really didn't pan out that way. I don't think his career did too much after that, and Rat didn't either, you know, which is sad. I think, you know, it's funny. I wanted to go back and listen to the interview that I did with Piercy, because I kind of asked him, I was like, was this the plan? Was Rat going to do an album like this? And I don't remember what he said, but I kind of remember being disappointed. The only thing I can remember, because like, I don't think there was any talk of that. I think it was like, this was the end almost, and they all knew it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like you and I, we think like, oh my God, this would have been a great springboard for the next Rat album, but I think it was done. And you look at the video, it's a four-piece, so Robin's health had deteriorated at yes. that point. So just a cool era. You know, it was funny because it's like, things were changing so fast after the 80s, right? Because, you know, the 80s were done, and then 91 comes, and it's like still stuff still lasting. You're still getting like those action movies, and you're still getting like this Rat could maybe survive. And then it's like 2 years later or so, and it's like it's really changed, and it's Nirvana and all that stuff, and it's over. But I did go back and watch this because same thing, man. I watched this in 91, and I haven't seen it since, right? So I'm like, I can't even remember if I like it or not. So I do like it. I thought it was a great movie. I thought the whole concept of like Gary Busey being in there, kind of being the old school detective, figuring out these guys are surfers. And the coolest part, man, I don't even, it's so cheesy and ridiculous, but it's so cool. When Patrick Swayze jumps out of the plane and Keanu goes after him with no parachute, I was like, yes! This is what action movies are all about, baby. So what a killer movie, man. So good.
Well, yeah, two things. First of all, full disclaimer, we did talk about this movie recently.
We did.
And although I said I'm a big Point Break guy, I did watch it in the last year, and I thought, oh, shit, I like this a lot more when it came out right, than I did right now.
Yeah.
But also, I'm glad you brought this up. I'm bummed that my boy Robin wasn't in here, dude. Like, he almost is Rat. He's as Rat as Piercy. And I'm bummed he wasn't in it, and this was kind of the beginning of the end for him. And it's a real shame, because he was such a monster, dude. But still a killer song, still a killer band at the time. But I'm bummed he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He should have reaped the benefits of this.
Yep, no doubt. All right, man, we're coming down to the wire. Number three.
So again, where the band should have gone, and this is probably the most talked about example, this is where Van Hagar should have gone. This is automatic, and this is Van Halen, Humans Beings off the Twister soundtrack. And this is when Van Hagar was automatic. They were like apple pie, dude. They were like so American. They were just, they would come out with an album, it was quality, and it would go to number one. It was like Bon Jovi.
Yep.
So shortly after all this, like just all hell broke loose. So this song was perfect, and it was the perfect meld of updated, melodic, catchy, kind of incorporating the technology at the time, Van Halen, with a great intro and a great chorus. The movie was decent, but the song absolutely ruled, and I still go to this song quite often. You know me, I don't give a shit if it's Roth or Hagar. I love both versions, and I go to the song a lot. This is a big Hagar song for me. So I had to put it on there, way up there at number three.
Nice. Well, first of all, I got to mention, my wife loves Twister. She watches it 24/7. So, and I like the movie too. But I totally know the part when this song comes on. It's like they're chasing a storm and they take like a detour through a cornfield or something like that. So, dude, I know exactly when this song kicks on. And you know me, I've never been into Sammy Hagar, never liked Van Halen with Sammy Hagar. But I like this song, and I agree with you. Like, it's totally modernized, like that the heavy ass like verse with like almost like a rappy type of, I don't know, it's just different, you know what I mean, for Van Halen. But then when the chorus comes in, it sounds like total Van Halen with the harmonies and stuff. So, you know, another one of those tragedies, like, man, we needed an album like this, you know, just like we needed a Rat,
totally,
Nobody Rides for Free type of an album. We needed a Humans Being album from Van Halen. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that's too bad that this is really all, you know, this was it. Sammy was out, and then Roth was back in, and then Gary Cherone was in. A lot of chaos ensued after this song, but I'm with you, man. It's a very, very cool song.
Yeah, and if you recall, like, Sammy got back in the band, and they did a best of, like a double disc best of, and they came out with a couple new songs, yep, like two or three, and everybody was speculating, oh, is this going to be along the lines of Humans Beings? Like, that would be great, and it totally wasn't. And everybody was like, damn it, you should have gone the route of Humans Beings, and you didn't, and it's too modern, and it sucks, and blah, blah, blah. So it's just a shame that people kind of had, like, these bands gave in to the times.
Yep.
When they were doing a really good job of updating, but still appealing. So, it's a big one.
All right, number three.
And a special added attraction. It's got Ghoulies, too.
Anybody. I got Screaming Till You Like It by Wasp from the Ghoulies 2 soundtrack. Now, I never watched Ghoulies 2 back in the day, and I'm sorry, man, this shit looks so cheesy, there's no way I could watch it today. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is.
These friggin' wacky, stupid-ass puppet-looking thing. I know this is shit. I know this is a B-movie. You know, maybe I'll try it later. I don't know. Okay, I've already talked myself into it. Okay, maybe I'll just play it for 2 seconds and see if it's as bad as I think. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's garbage. But the song is great. And we've talked, we mentioned this on the last podcast, Only Child, right? Paul Sabu.
Oh,
This was an originally their song. I think Wasp took it to a different direction and kind of brought it where it needed to go. I think the Wasp version is better. I mean, sometimes that happens. You know what I mean? It's like the
totally
original creator does it. But, man, Blackie owns that song. And it's cool. The video, same old, same old. It integrates the movie clips. And there's a lot of interaction with Blackie and all these little ghoulie guys. And there's tons of press photos of, like, Blackie hanging out with these guys inside of a toilet and shit. It's just weird stuff.
Dude. Right?
But, and it ends up being the studio track, only studio track on Live in the Raw. But, dude, it's one of my favorite Wasp songs. It's just so cool. It's a good era for Wasp, you know. All the 80s is good for Wasp. When you go 84 to 89, and it was all, actually, at that point, then it was over. You know, Wasp just wasn't the same for me. But, man, just reminds me of good times. And Live in the Raw, as I've said a million times, and in our 1987 episode, I said it's one of my favorite live albums. And, this is a big part of why I like it. So, great song.
Dude, yeah. And I even brought that up in the 87 episode of this song and a couple of others that were just standouts from this genre of Wasp. It was killer. And I have an older brother, and he used to torment me with that toilet scene for Ghoulies. So I know it very well. So that, you know, the typical older brother torment, which shaped me into the man I am, of course.
There but, you go.
So I know it well.
Did you think they were going to come and get you when you go to the bathroom?
Yes, I did.
It's okay, because I always thought Jaws was going to come and kill me when I was in a swimming pool. So I get it, man.
Oh, perfect.
Number two.
Dino De Laurentiis presents Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Cool. So even I'm surprised that this isn't my number one, but it's one of my top AC/DC songs, and it's Who Made Who. And I actually think that Who Made Who off Maximum Overdrive brought them back to the top after Flick of the Switch and Fly on the Wall, which obviously I love, but didn't exactly light up the sales charts. It got their album release years back on the Even Years track, though, and this is a weird one. Like, if you're a fan of any band, you kind of, you know, you memorize, like Motley was Odd Years throughout the 80s.
Yep.
AC/DC started off with Odd Years, but then this derailed them back into the Even Years. So if Blow Up Your Video came out in 87, I don't think it would have done much because we were still in full Girls, 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 Hysteria, Bon Jovi world. 88, you start to get a little bit past that, and that's when Blow Up Your Video came out. So it derailed their album releases. It delayed it 1 year. So to the true AC/DC people out there, you know what I'm talking about. But and it made Razor's Edge come out in 90. So this album, this song, it was basically a best of, if you will, of AC/DC at the time. It only had three new tracks, Who Made Who, and then two instrumentals. But the song Who Made Who was very much 80s for AC/DC. And the video was really killer. The chorus was huge. They did a little bit more of the gang vocals thing, which is much different than what they're used to. Another one where the movie sucked and bombed, but the song, I guess AC/DC is classic for that, between Big Gun and Who Made Who. But it's one of my favorites. I think this was early AC/DC purchase for me, and I still listen to it. I still crank it. The live version is really good, and I wish they would play it on their 50-year anniversary, which apparently is coming up.
Nice. I'm glad you put this on here because this was on my honorables. And, you know, funny, man. You know I'm not a huge AC/DC guy, but I love this song. And this is what made me buy the Who Made Who soundtrack or Greatest Hits album, whatever you want to call it. And you're right. You know, it's funny because between this song and then You Shook Me All Night Long kind of got re-released and got big again.
That's right.
So there was a lot going on with AC/DC. They were played on Headbangers Ball 24/7. The only thing I'll give is I've never seen Maximum Overdrive. I don't think I'll ever actually. I think I've seen parts of it now that I think about it. But
it's
a stupid movie. I think like the car is possessed, and then there's like this truck that's got like the Green Goblin face on it. It's just a weird Stephen King movie. The only thing I'll give it though that I feel that maybe is lacking, where there's maybe this is a disconnect between the song and the movie, but like the song isn't really creepy at all. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes it's nice to have that, just a touch of creepiness for like a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's lacking, but the song's so good, it doesn't matter. And it probably was just a tie-in for like exposure for both. Because really, let's think about this for a minute. If you think about it, with all these videos, so if you did like a commercial on TV, that's great. But this video, it's like 3 to 4 minutes of a promo for your movie. You know what I mean? You're showing all the movie clips. You got a captive audience on Headbangers Ball and stuff. These tie-ins, were pretty genius when it comes to like a marketing standpoint.
Okay, so one of our tangents we're famous for. what Alice Cooper song is it where he says, and I'll call out of
So that was for Jason. Yeah, it was for Friday the 13th. I think it's 7. Jason Lives or something like that. Yeah. And right, he's back, the man behind the mask.
Yeah,
and
I think he's also the one.
Yeah, and then he's got Teenage Frankenstein is in the movie. But yeah, that was the theme song. He's back, and that's a creepy tune, and it works. Dude, he's got like the tie-ins with the song. Yeah,
that's a perfect example. Like, that song creeped me out. Like, hearing Cooper say, like, I'm going to crawl out of the hole.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it was like, whoa, this is freaking scary. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's the perfect example of that song. Like, it got me. Yep. So I agreed totally on that one.
Yeah. Like, probably a movie like that needed something like that. You know what I mean? Where,
yeah,
that's totally. Like, Wasp worked really well. Wasp, even though Screaming to You Like It isn't like necessarily a creepy song, but for some reason, Wasp was like a creepy band, so like it works, you know what I mean? But like AC/DC, they're just not creepy, you know what I mean? I don't know, they're just
pretty, no,
they're just
not at
like
all.
You know what I mean? Okay, number two,
it's the comeback of all time, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It's a trip.
Kind of surprised this is number two, but I think when I do my number one, I'll be able to explain it and why it went over that one. But I got God Gave Rock and Roll to You by Kiss, 1991, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And as a Kiss fan, man, this was like the band was back, I think. You know, you had Crazy Nights and you had Hot in the Shade and they weren't bad, and you know, 80s Kiss. But I feel like this is one of those moments where you're starting to feel like Kiss is going to start to pivot back to like their old sound or some things that they did in the past. Because if you look at the song, it's trade-off vocals between Paul and Gene. And that's was something that was very synonymous with old Kiss. You've also got a chorus that mentions rock and roll. Haven't had that in a while. You know what I mean? Rock and roll all night and all these, you know, rock and roll is mentioned in a lot of old Kiss songs. So there's some things happening. They look a little bit more badass in the video. I guess the saddest thing is that many of us, we knew Eric Carr was sick, but I didn't know he was going to die. This was like the last kind of like hurrah. He wore a wig in that video.
Yeah.
Just stuff you didn't know a kid in 1991. So this is kind of the end for Eric Carr. He didn't really even play on the song or anything. Eric Singer did. But, you know, and it's in Bill and Ted, man. And it's actually in the end of Bill and Ted. And it's kind of a nice closeout to the movie. They kind of pan to a lot of different things that get resolved in the movie and stuff. So it fits as like an ending song. It's kind of like anthemic. And,
yes.
You know, like you said, the Bill and Ted soundtrack, man, so crazy. Like I said, Shout It Out with Slaughter, Battle Stations with Winger. And don't forget who else is on there. Who do you think's on there that's been on every soundtrack tonight? Megadeth! Go to Hell.
Yeah.
Great, great, great song. So Megadeth are the soundtrack masters, man. They had to, and I feel bad. I should have put them on one of the, you know, one of the spots, but I can't put Go to Hell over God Gave Rock and Roll to You. Just can't be done. So
no, of course.
But
of course.
But great stuff. And like I said, good time. Like I said, I still think back to thinking like in 91. I remember as a kid thinking, my bands, they're going to be here forever. Slaughter, Winger, they're on a 1991 soundtrack. It's never going to end. And, you know, the following year it did end.
Well, I've always thought it would be very nice gesture if they said, God gave Eric Carr to you.
Right. Yeah.
And that's so such a sweet tribute to him. Oh, but also,
he's the man.
Was it a cover? Did you already say that? Or
I didn't say that. Basically, it is, but in typical Paul and Gene fashion, like they rewrote it. So there's parts of it that belong to Arjit is the band, and they took it and they revamped it. So they also have a songwriting credit on it. So yeah, it is kind of a cover. So yeah, you're right.
Okay. I knew there was a little lore to that one. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Number one, what you got?
Okay, well, are you ready to sing?
Hollywood Pictures presents Encino Man. He's a million years old.
Milk does the body good, huh?
Great hair.
And living proof that evolution is not an exact science.
Hold hands on the wheel.
Check out the fresh nugs. Squeezing the juice.
Ow! Oh, straight between you and baby, cowboy.
There's something over here I want you to see. It's a party, but it isn't for free. So we got Vince doing "You're Invited But Your Friend Can't Come" off the Encino Man soundtrack. So this is a hit that I still crank to this day. Yep. One of my favorite Vince Neil songs. We've discussed this during the metal TV performances,
yep,
as well as the 93 episode, but it doesn't get old. And neither is talking about it, apparently. Nope. So it's a great song, and the movie is kind of killer too, which I've always liked the movie. And recently I heard an interview with Eddie Trunk interviewing Vince, and he says, Eddie basically asks him, like, look, dude, you play live all the time. You play solo. You only play Motley songs. Mm. Like, what is it about that? Like, why don't you want to play your solo stuff? And Vince basically says, I really like the Exposed album. It was ahead of its time. There's some good songs off of it. And people want to come and see me play Motley. But I do play You're Invited But Your Friend Can't Come. Uh-huh. And I was stoked to hear that because it's a standout. It's a killer song. I'm glad he had some outside writers. They probably beefed it up for him. And this song will forever be my number one go-to Vince Neil solo song. So that's why I had to make it number one above my boys AC/DC.
Yeah. I'm so glad you put this on here. I mean, it's definitely in my honorables. I mean, I was right there. I saw Encino Man when it came out. I saw it at a drive-in, actually, with my buddies. And, you know, I think I've mentioned this before. I remember just being surprised, like, how the hell does Vince Neil have a song in a soundtrack right now? And he was, you know, like I said, he was the first one to get to the market with new music, and it was a killer song. And it's funny, you know, you say he was ahead of its time. It might have been behind its time as well, because, you know, it probably worked really well in, like, 1990, but not as much in 92, 93 when it was, you know, kind of out there.
Dude, you know what? I think Vince was confused. I think he was – I honestly, in the interview, I think he was thinking about Carving Stone when he said this. When he said that, I was like, it was pretty much, like you said, behind the times or of the era for Vince, who was like forever 80s dude, which is killer of him. But I'm pretty sure he was talking about Carving Stone, but he didn't remember.
One thing I'll give him, though, is that album really is timeless, is what it is. Because people today, it's really untouched by whatever was going on in music at that time. So if you like Dr. Feelgood, you could grab that and listen to it, and it sounds like it's the next album that would have came out the year after or something like that.
Oh,
so
totally,
it's a timeless album, untouched by trends. That's why people today will always say, oh, I love Exposed by Vince Neil, because it's untouched. If you like hair metal and pop metal and all that shit, boom, it's right there. I mean, Steve Stevens' guitar work and Vince's vocals and the, you know, catchy songs, it's killer. Carved in Stone, I mean, I know we're getting way off topic now, but man, I'm telling you, I jam a lot of those tunes quite a bit. Some of them I don't like. Like, when they got too heavy with some electronic drum beats, that's not working for me. But there's just some regular, straight-up, kind of like 90s rock-type songs on there. I love it, man. So, yeah, that might have been ahead of its time. Or just trying to go with the times. I don't know. But Vince Neil solo is good, and it needs more love. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. I know this song is probably so typical. I don't care. Dream Warriors, Dokken. And when you talk about, you're saying that Alice Cooper had the creepy song. I think this song is creepy. You know what I mean? There's just something about it. I think the riff is kind of dark and evil. And then when they do like the clear guitar over the heavy guitar, you know what I mean? Like, it's just got a little bit of a odd vibe that works for like the Freddy Krueger stuff. It's the best video, I think. You know, now that I've lived through the 80s and I'm an adult and I go back and watch some of the stuff, I really think it's probably the best music video of the 80s. Like, it's just so spot on. You know, we talked about how integrating movie clips with the characters joining you in with you. And it doesn't get any more extreme than this one, man. You know, Freddy's choking George Lynch, and George Lynch is busting through walls with his skeleton guitar. I mean, it is so epic, man. It's always going to be my favorite Dokken song. I'll never forget the 12-inch single with that excellent album cover, and then Back for the Attack, the song, and Paris is Burning, and Dream Warriors. I'll never forget it. The only downside of all this, and I think I was telling you this, is that I went back and I tried to watch Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. Now, the funny thing was, is one of my best friends growing up, his birthday was in September. So we always would go watch these movies every time they came out. They would come out every year, right at his birthday. And on his birthday, we'd go see these movies. And I used to love them, you know? And I went back and I tried to watch this. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, I don't know. I love RoboCop, Predator. I went back and watched all that shit. I loved it. I don't know. This just is dumb. Like, you know, like they fall asleep, and if he kills you in your sleep, you're dead. And then, like, there's this one part where he's like this giant head, and he's like chewing on the girl's legs. And I'm like, this is just so goofy. Like, I don't know. Maybe you got to be in the mood for it. Maybe I should have progressed and tried to make it a little farther in the movie, but I just got to the point where I'm like, this is dumb. Like, this is stupid. So so those movies just don't appeal to me anymore. But so many of the other ones, and I don't want to end like on a sour note with 80s movies, because like I said, they're great. There's a lot of great acting, great stories, practical effects, you know, not politically correct, just fun. Reminds you of a fun time, reminds you of your childhood. So just great stuff. So that being said, I know you got honorables. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. You know, dude, I could go on another top 10 list, but I won't. I'll just tell you right now, I got... So, Eric Martin from Caddyshack 2. There's a song called One Way Out.
Okay.
And I know, dude. And the lore surrounding this is that it was basically Mr. Big. It was Mr. Big, but they didn't have a band name yet. And Eric Martin was a solo artist at that point, so they called it Eric Martin. But check that out. It's One Way Out. Really cool song.
Nice.
And here's one that I thought that you would absolutely put on, and it's Obsession from Leatherface.
They got a song in Leatherface? Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yes, they
did. Which track is it, do you know?
It is Methods of Madness.
Oh, Methods of Madness. Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. And I thought for sure you'd have it on there. Hurricane also has a song on there. But it's Spark in the, what's it called? Spark in My Heart, which I never really loved that song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Iron Eagle has King Cobra, Dio, and Helix. Let's see, Johnny Be Good.
I thought about that one. I've never seen that movie, but I do love Johnny Be Good, the song.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then we got Kix doing Ring Around Rosie, I believe, and Dirty Looks. Black Roses has King Cobra, and this is the next version of King Cobra with Johnny Edwards doing a song called Take It Off, which is killer. Johnny Edwards went on to sing for Foreigner. Also, another one I thought you'd put on there, Dr. Giggles. It's kind of a interesting movie. House of Lords has a song in there.
Nice.
Gladiator. I thought you'd have Warrant on there doing We Will Rock You.
Oh, I forgot about that. They had a video for that. I remember that. Yep.
They did. That was a big one for them. They also have the song called The Power, which I talked about at one other point. I can't remember which episode it was on, but I can't remember what it was, but the song's called The Power.
Yep.
And it's off the Gladiator soundtrack. It's also on the Cherry Pie extended version.
Yes.
Really cool. Really cool Warren song. And then to top it off, Mr. Big has a song called Navy SEALs is the album, the soundtrack. And the song is called Strike Like Lightning by Mr. Big. And then Lou Gramm, Hanging on My Hip on that one. So,
nice.
Yeah, some honorables that were definitely on there, but I'm pretty stoked on my list. And yours.
Nice.
Yours was very much my taste, so I'm really happy about it.
Sweet, sweet. So for my honorables, I had Who Made Who, which we got to discuss. I had the Teenage Frankenstein, and He's Back from Jason Lives. Love Kills was on there because, like, you know, that's a good one. It's a cool video.
Vinny
Vincent dresses up like Freddy, but you just can't touch Dream Warriors. I had You're Invited, but Your Friend Can't Come. And I also had Hit Between the Eyes by Scorps. It's in the movie Free Jack. Free Jack.
Oh, yeah, dude.
With
That's
Anthony
cool.
Hopkins and Mario Estevez. No, Emilio Estevez. But, okay, so as promised in the beginning of the episode, I was going to read off some of the bizarre ones that I found that were on the internet, which just blew my mind. Okay, which I think I've shared some of these with you, but I'll just read them off. So we got Vinnie Vince Invasion Animal from Summer School with Mark Harmon, 1987.
Great movie.
This one really hit home to me because I always preached this song, and I had no idea it was in a movie. Motley Crue, Save Our Souls, from a movie called Demons from 1985. Don't know.
Oh, boy.
A throwback to our last episode, A to Z. Ron Keel's Fair Game had their song Blind Faith in the movie Bad Channels, 1992. Can't say as well as I've ever seen that one. Obsessions also had Methods of Madness in Sleepaway Camp 3. From 1989, so it looks like Methods of Madness made its rounds. Here's one for you, yeah. Man. House of Lords, Down, Down, Down from the Hellraiser 3 soundtrack.
Awesome.
Okay.
I have that soundtrack. That's a good one.
Lion Has Never Surrender from a movie called The Wraith, 1986.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that one. That had a lot of good stuff.
Had a lot of metal in it.
Might
yep.
have. Yeah, yeah. I thought you might have that one on there.
You got Hurricane, The Girls Are Out Tonight from Sleepaway Camp 2, 1988. Like, you're seeing a trend here, right? Like you get like B-metal movies with kind of like, you know, questionable metal songs. You know, I see where this is going. We didn't talk about Motley Crue, Rock and Roll Junkie from the Ford Fairlane soundtrack. And Vince actually plays like a rock star, not himself, but like in the beginning of that movie, which is kind of cool.
Tell you right now, that's my least favorite of the new decade songs.
Uh-huh.
When it was Angela and Primal Scream, those songs. Rock and Roll Junkie was my least favorite, so I didn't add it for that reason. But I love the song. But of those, it's my least. So that is why.
Gotcha. We got Pretty Boy Floyd doing the song Slam Dunk from the movie Switch from 1991. So it seems like, you know, metal was coming cheap in 91 for soundtracks. You could get Pretty Boy Floyd song really cheap. But the best one, man, this one just blew my mind. Nitro, Freight Train, 1991, from Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan. It don't get no more metal. It don't get any more cheese than a combination of Hulk Hogan acting with Nitro, man. Killer. And, of course, it's in a scene where kids are cruising in a Trans Am cranking this song. And they almost hit some kid, and Hulk's got to save the kid. So it don't get any more metal than that, and I think that's a great place to just end it.
I love that. That was a great movie, dude. How did we not talk about Stan Bush, though? He was in Wraith. He was in the Transformers. He did Dare. He did all these songs. Mm-hmm. The Touch, which also I think was the song that Mark Wahlberg did in Boogie Nights. So that guy was like the soundtrack hero back in the day. He was great. He was in Wraith. He was, you know, all these songs. So anyway, really cool way to end this.
Yeah, good stuff. And like I said, I hope people enjoy this. Maybe they'll go back, watch some of these movies, listen to some of these songs. Hopefully people hit us up and say, hey, how the hell did you not catch when Rock's Gang was in Sleepaway Camp 5 or something? I don't know. There's probably something that we missed. So I hope people can bring that to our attention. But there's just, like I said, this is an endless one. You probably could do a whole other episode about it. So.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty I missed, but these were the ones we came up with.
Yep. All right, brother. Always fun. Always a good chat.
Always great, man. Thank you very much.
Yep. We'll talk to you.
Hope you enjoyed it. Rock on!